Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Please rise for the reading of God's word. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Blessings to you on this Lord's Day. Just a few days in the new year, we were perplexed, dumbfounded, when a mob breached the Capitol building. They smashed windows, broke doors, scaled the walls, and overwhelmed a very undersized police presence. 50 police officers were injured, 5 died. And leaders from around the world, leaders from both sides of the political aisle, rightfully condemned such a violent intrusion. It's reprehensible, utterly deplorable. Yet, if we think about it, this temptation to use force to advance our position is nothing new. We see it all through history. For example, even when Judas came with a band of soldiers with torches and weapons to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off the right ear of the high priest's servant, though Jesus rebukes him. Why? A few verses later in John 18, Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And this is how Jesus responds. I want to read it for you, verse 36. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." You see, the kingdom of God is of an entirely different order than the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world uses power and violence and force for their purpose. The kingdom of God is not world-like. Its origin is God. It's completely unique. Where the king, the Lord Jesus, who has infinite power and privilege, uses it to serve. He loves the unloved. He heals the broken. He proclaims the gospel. He proclaims the message of good news, that he emptied himself ultimately on a cross so that whoever believes in him will be filled with his presence. You see, at this moment, the resurrected Jesus, he's king. He's in the position of highest authority. Scripture teaches us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And Jesus is working powerfully on this earth by his body. His body, really? Jesus' body is here on earth? Yes. The church actively working powerfully through the church. Hence, the church as the body of Christ lives out the gospel ministry that Jesus showed us as his hands and feet. So this morning, I would like to build upon last week's general vision of our congregation, that we want to be a gospel community in action. All of our ministries, all of our activities, focused toward this end. And assumed under this is a more specific direction for 2021. Our church, now keep in mind, Bethel is one church with a number of congregations. The direction, 2021 direction for Bethel as a whole is to be strengthened in your inner being. That's based on Ephesians 3:16. But for our congregation, I just want to take one further step. Be strengthened in your inner being to build the body of Christ. And I just want to focus on that latter part. We'll parse the whole thing later. But the latter part, I just want to unpack this morning. Building the body is very important, especially in the midst of all of this pandemic restrictions. There's so much to build. There's so much to rebuild. How do we build the body? Well, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 with 3 points. First, build with the word. Second, everyone builds. And third, build for maturity. First, build with the word. Second, everyone builds. And third, build for maturity. Let's look at the first one. Build with the word. As we learned about unity last week in Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, Paul then transitions to diversity. He wants to talk about diversity in the church. Verses 7 through 8 notes how spiritual gifts were given to each believer in a diverse manner. In fact, in other portions of Scripture, this diversity is so important. Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 12, for example, a metaphor of a physical body, that a physical body has diverse parts, and this is essential. If our whole body was an eye, where would our sense of hearing be? We have diverse parts, of course. Likewise, the church, the body of Christ, diverse believers with spiritual gifts, all for one end of building the body. So quickly, I just want to think about, how do you know your spiritual gift, right? Come across a lot of people, well, I can't serve yet because I don't know what my spiritual gift is, but once I find it out, I might think about serving. You don't have to find your spiritual gift to serve. Rather, in fact, when you serve, your spiritual gift finds you. The first step in really kind of thinking about your spiritual gift is to serve. And when you serve with a motive to encourage the faith of someone else, see, that's the very purpose of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts edify the church. They strengthen the faith of another. When you have that motive to serve, the spiritual gift finds you, right? So serve, participate, get involved. Second, I want you to meditate on the categories in Scripture regarding spiritual gifts. You can look up the list of spiritual gifts, you know, in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Meditate on those categories with respect to your own passions and interests. Spend time doing that. As you serve and as you meditate on the categories of gifts that the Scripture gives us, they're categories, they're not exhaustive. Meditate on that. The Spirit of truth will guide you with discernment on what your gift is. But not only that, number three, talk with somebody about it. Talk to a spiritually minded person, brother, sister in Christ, about what you're discovering through your meditation of Scripture, what you're discovering as you serve, and the feedback can be glorious. Encouragement in ways that you did not know before, but perhaps word of caution that you did not know before. You know, all of us in some sense, we think we can sing. That's good if you have that self-understanding, but how full of wisdom it is to ask a spiritually minded brother or sister in Christ, can I sing? And they'll tell you the truth in love, right? But talk with someone else. And lastly, pray. Seek the spiritual gifts, the Scripture tells us, but seek the Lord in seeking the spiritual gifts, and the Lord will guide you, right? Those simple four steps to keep in mind. So in this diversity of spiritual gifts, Paul then draws out a theme among these different gifts, all right, from verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Can you pick out the theme in verse 11 among these different gifts? The word of God. The theme is the word of God. You see, the apostles and prophets is used by Paul in a technical sense. He already referenced them grouped together in Ephesians 2:20 as the foundation of the church. The apostles and prophets, they were the authors of the revealed will of God in Scripture, the foundation of the church where Jesus is the cornerstone. We don't have the gift of apostle, and in this sense, prophets, how Paul is using it today, but of course, prophets, is it a gift today? It's debated. We're not going to go there. But in this sense, apostles and prophets used technically by Paul to point to the revealed will of God as the foundation of the church. How important the apostles and prophets were. We have the standard of Scripture. And then we have evangelists. They're the ones who instruct and proclaim the gospels to people who first believe. And when I think about the gift of evangelism, the first person that comes to mind, and I can talk about him because he's not here, I pick him up every Sunday, our own Mr. Houston, one of the oldest members of our church, over 80 years old. Every time I pick him up, he's droning on, and I say that in a very encouraging way, about how he's talking to someone about the gospel, whoever he meets. And in fact, having been converted when he was 40 years old, he went around the nation to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So encouraging. Anytime I just come near him, he's talking about evangelism. Yes, all believers should evangelize, but some are gifted with evangelism. And then we have shepherds. They're pastors and elders who exemplify, who teach, who admonish the word of God. And then teachers. You can, in your Bible, have all these superscripts, right? Under shepherds, under teachers, because it can be shepherd-teachers combined, or are they separate? We're not going to get into that debate. We're just going to say teachers are different. A gift of teaching. Teaching what? The word of God. Teaching the word of God. The emphasis is on the word of God, because the word of God is the building block for works of ministry, for building the body of Christ. Verse 12. To equip the saints, why? Well, how? The word of God. For the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So all I want to emphasize here is this one strand from these verses, is the emphasis of the building block for the works of ministry, for building the body of Christ. Now, just to drive this home, let's continue this metaphor of the body. If in our physical bodies, how do we build our physical bodies? How do we do that? We work out, right? We work out. And when we work out, what do we need in our bodies to work out? We need food. Food is essential. In fact, if you work out intensely and you are just, you know, lifting and doing Pilates and doing all running and all of these different things, if you're working out intensely and you don't have enough food, do you know what that's called? It's called overtraining. And when you overtrain, instead of your body being built up, it actually reverses, right? Instead of getting more energy and strength, you have less strength and energy. Your muscles will not recover properly. You will be more prone for injury, and it will get to a point where you won't even be able to get up in the morning. When you work out, you need food. And this is why athletes, when they train, they have to eat so much. For instance, Michael Phelps, when he trained for the 2008 Olympics, do you know how many calories he ate per day? 12,000 calories a day. One entire pizza, 1 pound of pasta, yeah, 1 pound of carbs, 3 fried egg sandwiches, a stack of French toast, a big bowl of grits, and his famous many-stacked pancakes. Each day, He needs to eat those calories because he's working out. Brothers and sisters, for the work of ministry in our congregation, for the building up of the body of Christ, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the fuel from the Word of God. We need the standard of the Word of God. We need the power from the Word of God. And for 2021, in light of how our pandemic has decentralized ministry, we can't have large gatherings. What has flourished, ironically so, has been our smaller gatherings. Our small groups, even on Zoom, have proliferated. You know, I'm leading two small groups. One has near 20, and the other one has over 10. And our groups are just getting too big. But it's an avenue we want to optimize, and we want to train our small groups not only to know the Word, but to do the Word. So we have plans for 2021 to train our small group leaders to be able to train their small group members to read the scriptures in a systematic, simple way so that you can read the scripture to someone else. This follows a pastor, David Helm, his one-to-one Bible reading. And this has tremendous far-reaching implications. If you get trained to read the Bible for yourself so you can read the Bible with someone else, and they read the Bible with someone else and someone else, the Lord will work powerfully in that because we need the Word for the work of ministry, for building the body of Christ. So join a small group if you haven't. Expect this training into one-to-one Bible reading so that we can get in a step of living out the gospel. As a church, we want to be a gospel community in action, the very action of discipleship and evangelism. But we can't do that apart from the building block of the Word of God so we can engage in the work of ministry so that we can build the body of Christ. Okay, so we build with the Word, but who builds? Who builds? Second point, everyone builds. Interesting point. In a consumer culture, it's the professional who builds, right? It's the supposed expert who builds, right? It's the one who occupies a leadership office who builds. It seems that everyone in verse 11 are the only ones who should build. But they're not alone. Let me read the text again, verses 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Where is the emphasis here in verse 12 for those who are building the body? It's not verse 11. Those equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. It's the saints. The saints come marching in. The saints are not a designation by a pope for the extraordinary Christian. No. Saint here is just a description for a believer, no matter how seemingly ordinary. Saint means Christian, one who believes in Jesus Christ as a child of God, as being equipped by the Holy Spirit with a unique gift. All Christians in the body are to engage in the works of ministry. See, ministry is not just for the professional. It is for them. It is for the shepherds and teachers. But it's for all believers, every believer, part of building the body as they engage in the work of ministry. You know, this is seen in verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. Each part, all the parts working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, I read this article about a mom on the beach, was reading a book, just enjoying the wind or the sun. Then all of a sudden, she hears the faint cry of her two boys. She looks up with the distress that any parent would have, and her boys are being carried out by a riptide. What does a mother do? Without hesitation, throws down her book, jumps into the water after them. And before long, she's caught up in the riptide too. Five other people, witnesses, they jump in after them. All of them are caught in this riptide. And there's this sense of helplessness. There's people out there. Beachgoers know the riptide is dangerous. People can die. So what did all these people on the beach do? They formed a human chain. Many people, hand to hand to hand, into the deep, and they saved all the stranded. You see, in a chain, every link is vital. One part of the chain is not more important than the other. And likewise, in the church, we are part of a chain. One part is not more important than the other. Seth, the newest member of this congregation, you're part of a chain. All of us are. You matter. Your life counts. You have a part to play. You are vital to the ministry of the church by God's design. Even if it's behind the scenes, even if it seems without honor. You know, I remember because of virtual school, I have not been able to help out with CCC. I've been feeling so guilty for that. But then, my last service item, I was asked to help, a Lion's Salt volunteer move crates of milk that were stored in our old kitchen in the crevices way back in the back. And so I went back there, and I found this Lion's Salt leader working diligently behind the scenes. No one would have known the sweat and the effort and toil that this, I was just so encouraged. Just thinking in my mind, just back there, no one's at church, all alone. But the diligent service for one so far behind the scenes. You know, every time after church, I go home, my kids are on Zoom with Sunday school. And, Kara's, fifth grade, she has her teacher. Karsten, second grade, has his teacher. I know both of the teachers. And both of those teachers, over a decade ago, I taught their kids in high school when I was a high school pastor. And over the years, here they are serving a small group on Zoom with a bunch of second graders and fifth graders. You know what? It can seem like behind the scenes. It can seem like it's without honor. But do you know what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12? That those without honor, who gives them honor? God does. Because even behind the scene, God sees. And sometimes we think the only way we can serve is if it's on the stage or if it's something that's visible. But there are so many positions of service that nobody sees. And it requires a maturity, a Godwardness, a faith that I'm looking to you, God, even though people are not looking. But, as I thought about these teachers, Sunday school teachers, and even this Lion's Salt volunteer. I knew this guy when he was a freshman in high school, even when he was in middle school ministry. And you know what? This Lion's Salt volunteer, even every year in high school, college, he always served. And these Sunday school teachers, they serve all the time through these past decades of me knowing them. Perhaps, I thought in my mind, perhaps they're serving because there's always room because not everyone is serving. And we hear the statistics where only 20% to 80% of the work. Brothers and sisters, my prayer is that every part of our congregation will work properly. 100% engagement. That's my prayer. Lofty prayer. But God can do all things. But that is the standard, you see. That is the standard. Everyone, get involved. Work the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Well, how can you get involved? How can you get involved? As in our newsletter and announced today, we're having a congregational meeting on the 24th. And in the past times we had congregational meetings, if there was something to do with the Promise Center, but we're going to have consistent, at least quarterly, congregational meetings that will be the very example of communicating more with the congregation. What we want to do on the 24th, 12:45 on Zoom. Please ask for an invitation. Get a link. Even if you're not a member, you can join in and see what's going on. What we want to do is we want our ministry groups, in terms of our congregation, how we're divided, our worship, education, fellowship, mission, administration, college, Lion Salt, family. We want to give a picture for 2021. What directions are we going to go? What are our goals? What's our big item calendar for 2021? And ways you can serve. Ways you can serve. It won't be only at the congregational meeting. We're going to communicate more to really encourage and provide clarity in how you can serve. But please, by means of just a start, join the congregational meeting. Listen in. So everyone builds with the building block of God's word. Now for what purpose? For maturity. Last point. Build for maturity. What is maturity? Three things. First, unity of the faith. Look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We will be mature more when we're unified in our faith. And notice the unity of faith is conjoined with knowledge of the Son of God. Faith is not blind. Faith is not just in anything. Faith is tied to an object, and the object is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the object of our faith, and our faith is strengthened. Our faith is unified when our knowledge of Jesus is strengthened. And so that's why as a church, we want to just follow the example of Paul, who says, I want to know Christ more than anything else. We want to be Christ-centered. This is assumed in our gospel community in Acts. We want to be Christ-centered. We want to be a church where we're so clear on Jesus, centered on Jesus. Unity of the faith. But not only that, unity in relationships. We see to mature manhood. This seems quizzical. Mature manhood is a full-grown man. How is that unity in relationships? Keep in mind, Paul is using this mature manhood technically. He referred in Ephesians 2:15 about the one man, the one new humanity that God is creating between the most contrasting point of view anyone could have ever contrived in their mind, between Jew and Gentile. They don't fit. That's impossible. They hate each other. No. One new person. And so therefore, as we mature in Christ, we have unity in relationships that we talked about. We want to be a community that, you know what, we have love and sacrifice and deference, humility toward one another, that we're unified because Jesus is our center. When we're centered on doctrine with Christ in the middle, we're unified, bond of the Holy Spirit, unity of relationships. But not only that, the third thing is the fullness of Christ-likeness. It says in verse 13, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we mature, unity of faith, we're all unified under what we believe. We're unified in relationships, but we have a Christ-likeness. We choose willingly sacrifice. We choose to humble ourselves. We choose to defer to the other person. We choose to serve. We choose to forgive. You see, when we mature, there's a sense of Christ-likeness in us. We're like Jesus more and more and more. You know, 5 years ago, my family, we took a trip, a very short trip to New York City, and we were in Central Park. And you can remember when New York City was open. It's beautiful. And as we were walking, there's this one artist, and he was doing art. And a chair, and someone sat down there. So, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking it's kind of similar in the mall. You're walking around, someone's drawing caricatures, or someone, you know, can draw a realistic picture, and it's like, doesn't look right. You go, oh, yeah. As I got closer, I looked, someone was sitting on the chair. I thought he had a photograph on his easel, but what it was, and all he used was a pencil. What he used, just with a pencil, his drawing looked like a photograph. An exact depiction of who was sitting on the chair. I'm like, that's amazing. We waited in line. I was with Karis. She was 5 years old. And so she sat on the chair just for 30 minutes. And I took the whole thing on video. And I'm not an artist, so I don't understand. But, you know, his initial lines I thought were just so arbitrary and so random. But as the picture formed, I was amazed how in the hands of a master, just with a pencil, sketching out, and, you know, it was like a perfect replica. I adore this drawing. It's in her room. I often look at it when she was 5 years old. You know, when kids are cute, plump cheeks, plump lips, plump eyes. Like, that's my daughter. Do you know what God is doing for each one of us, part of the body of Christ? He is forming and shaping us to be like Jesus. That we actually reflect Jesus in our choices. I'm going to choose to sacrifice. I'm going to choose to serve. You know, I can get angry right now, but I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to think of that person as better than myself. You know, as we mature in a congregation, we look like Jesus Christ more and more. So how does this look like? Really quick as I close. How does looking like Jesus look like? Two things. First, no longer children. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, you see? No longer children. Well, on the one hand, aren't we supposed to be like children? Yeah, in terms of trusting in a parent entirely. That depicts faith, trusting in Jesus alone. But there are aspects of children that we should grow out of. What are those? Well, gullible. Kids are gullible. You can make them believe whatever you want. And sometimes in their immaturity, we can believe in whatever doctrine. We can just be influenced and believe in whatever the world is teaching us. But as we mature, we're going to have a discerning and critical mind that's founded upon the Word of God. Or what about self-absorbed? Young kids are so self-absorbed. Please share your toy with someone else. No, it's mine. As a congregation, as we mature, at Christ-likeness looks that we're not so self-absorbed. That when we come to church, that we come to small group, that we see people, that we go out for coffee, we're not just thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about the other person. We're thinking about the Lord's leading for us. You know, we're not self-absorbed. You know, little kids are so distractive, wavering from one toy or another. They're so distractive. But as we mature, in a world that's filled with distractions, we can say, you know what, I'm going to put my phone down. I'm going to unplug the computer because I have a greater treasure. I want to spend time in communion with Jesus, right? But it's not filled with distraction, frazzled. We can actually spend time in solitude with our Lord Jesus Christ, with the TV off. And what about unstable? Kids are so unstable, incredibly happy in one moment and full of tears in the next. Perhaps in our immature days, we can be so filled with ambition and passion for Jesus one day, and the next day, forget it. I'm dropping it all. See, we want steadfastness. We want a foundation, a rock to keep going and persevering in difficult times. You see, so no longer children, but secondly and finally, speaking truth in love. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who's the head, into Christ. Who's speaking the truth in love in verse 11? The leaders and teachers. Who's speaking the truth in love in verse 15? The saints, everyone else, speaking truth in love to build up the body. You know, in my small group a year and a half ago, as we share our struggles, I remember a year and a half ago, I shared, you know, my academic writing, I'm falling behind, and you know what, it's hard. And one person listened intently. One person a year and a half ago to today has been speaking truth in love. And you know what? I'm still so far behind, but I made so much progress. I want to give this person in my small group all the credit because I've been influenced by him. The words of this person influenced me today. Brothers and sisters, who are you influencing for Jesus Christ? Who are you influencing to strengthen their faith so that the body gets built up? Do you notice? It's when the saints speak truth in love, the body gets built up. And I got built up through another person's truth and love. Brothers and sisters, for 2021, let us play our part, being equipped by the Word of God for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that we can be a gospel community in action. Let's pray.